Welcome to Does the Team Think with Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And team, Mrs. Marjorie Dryland will put a question to you. This is it.
If members of the team were to be elevated to the peerage, what titles would they choose? And what would they adopt as the family motto?
If members of the team were to be elevated to the peerage, what title would they choose and what would they adopt as the family motto?
Well, Mrs. Dryland, you're no good to Jim Edwards.
Why?
Well, Dryland is no place for Jim Edwards.
No. I was going to say it might make a change. But the word elevated is rather worrying.
I could do with that.
Yes. Well, I thought of saying that naturally Arthur Askey would be known as Lord Shorthouse.
Of Bottomley.
Of Bottomley.
Yeah.
I thought Lord Shorthouse of Duck's Bum. And his motto would be, mind how you step off the curb.
Well, I thought his motto probably would be something shorter than that.
It's a rather strange thing, Jim, that so early in the programme you should mention Bottomley. Because there was a man named Bottomley who used to run a magazine called John Bull.
Horatio Bottomley.
Horatio Bottomley. He went to see a lord in the country, he was invited, and this fellow's name was Lord Cholmondeley, which was pronounced Chumbley.
That's right.
You see? And when Horatio got to the door, he rang the bell, and the butler came to the door and said, "Yes?" He said, "I'd like to see Lord Cholmondeley, please." And he said, "I'm afraid we have no Cholmondeley. We have a Lord Chumbley." And Bottomley said, "Well, will you tell him Mr. Bumbley would like a word?"
Talking about being elevated to the peerage, there's several gentlemen now, you call them Lord and you've got to laugh. Honestly, haven't you, eh? There's one particular gentleman of the Socialist Party, I may say, who was elected not only to become a Lord, but he's Baron. And it's a pity his mother wasn't.
We mustn't let...
Back to the question, let us suggest various titles and peerages for the assembled company.
He's had 5 minutes.
I'm going to be Lord Dreaming of Thee. And my motto is Odiferous Rex, which means King of the Odours, I think. Oh, then Jim will be Lord Boozley of Wallop. And his motto is Work is the Curse of the Drinking Classes. I couldn't think of one for Ted, so I made him Lord Justin Time, his motto being Born in the Vestry.
Good.
Well, yes, I like it, but I've got a better one for me. I'd like to call myself Lord Ray of Sunshine. And my motto would be Sagacious Gag Connaît Son Père, which means it's a wisecrack that knows its own father.
I thought your motto, Ted, should be Semper Fidelis, always on the fiddle.
That's better.
Mrs. Dryland, what have you thought about this?
Well, I have. For Mr. Jimmy Edwards, I thought the Duke of Drinkwater.
What an insult, madam. I never let it pass my lips.
Mr. Ted Ray, Lord Razorlaff, and his motto, Much Ado About Nothing.
Quite right.
She's read your script,
Ted. Well, Liberace would say, I laugh all the way to the bank.
I did yesterday, and it was closed when I got there.
Mr. Arthur Askey.
Hey, hey.
Lord Little of Big Heart.
Lovely, I like that.
And I've got 2 mottos, I can't quite make up my mind. The first, ad infinitum, because luckily for us all, he does seem to go on forever. Or a little of what you fancy does you good.
Ah, good. Good. Yeah.
Great. She's coming to Cyril.
About nothing.
Yes.
I shan't.
She's coming to Cyril.
Mr. Cyril Fletcher, Lord Ode of Ode Hall.
Oh, this is a play on Toad of Toad Hall.
Now watch it, wait
Clever.
For it.
No, it's all right, she's got a frog in her throat, it's all
well
right.
Well done, Miss Griffin. And his motto, which I found a bit difficult, but oddity before normality.
Oh!
Very good.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Dryland. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Having put all the team in the place, we turn our attention to Mr. Ian Doward. Mr. Doward, what is your question?
Did the members of a team have a favourite toy when they were children, and did it influence their adult life?
Just... Mr. Doward, just look at them. Did the members of the team have a favourite toy when they were children, and did it influence their adult life?
Well, I've not told Betty this, but my favourite toy when I was a child was the girl next door.
You couldn't afford toys in my days. I must confess that we were even, I think, more poor than Arthur. Arthur lived in the better district of Liverpool.
By the docks?
Yeah, well, we were on a barge.
Oh, I thought that was your mother.
Well, it could have been Arthur, but we were so poor, we used everything. And we had these toilet rolls, and when the toilet roll was finished and there was a piece of cardboard, which we called a kazooza, because we used to hold it up to our mouths and go, kazooza! And that was the only toy I ever had in my life.
Poor old time.
What did I have to wait all that time for?
I used to have a clockwork toy train that just went round in a circle.
I had a clockwork orange.
It wasn't invented then, was it? This inspired me. The only thing I wanted to be in life when I got this clockwork train was an engine driver. But unfortunately, I couldn't pass the test, because my eyes were too close together to look through the two windows.
Well, as a matter of fact, Arthur, I had exactly the same ambition for exactly the same reason, and I managed to pass the test, and I am now a driver of clockwork trains.
Oh! Arthur wanted to become a pianist, and he is today a very accomplished pianist.
Very good, yes.
It's true.
They have to cut the legs a bit short, but otherwise...
that's true, Jim, that's true, because, you see, when he was very small, he was sent for lessons to a 6-foot girl piano teacher. Mind you, his friends put him up to it.
She used to turn over for me.
She wouldn't turn over for me. Another interesting thing my parents gave me to play with was a revolver.
What a pity you missed.
But it's rather one of those extraordinary things that it never went off. Also, I was given a corkscrew, and I must confess it was many years before I realised what it was for.
With a left-hand thread.
I want to hear from Mr. Doward. He's been very patient and listened to you. Mr. Doward, do you think these gentlemen played with anything like that?
Well, I haven't thought about the whole team, but I should imagine, for Mr. Jimmy Edwards, any toy that would get lit up.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mr. Doward. Thank you very much.
Yes. Don't worry. We won't let this go down. Right.
Team, Mr. Tim Sargent wants to put a question to you. Listen very carefully, because this is it.
If the members of the team could choose their own car registration numbers, what would each pick for himself and for his fellow members?
If members of the team could choose their own car registration number, what would each pick for himself and for his fellow members?
May I say this right away, that the only member of the team that has his own car number that is identifiable is Arthur.
AA. AA, I have, really. I've got a... Well, all the big heads in our business have got their initials, you see. I couldn't get AA1 because that belongs to the head of the Automobile Association, I think. But Tommy Trinder's got TT1. Bruce Forsyth's got BF1. I don't know whether that's good, is it? In fact, most of them aren't. The only one with a bit of difficulty is Val Dunican.
Tell me, Arthur, what is the number following your AA?
10.
That's your collar size, isn't it?
There is a comedian who has one called COMIC, which is Jimmy Tarbuck.
Jimmy Tarbuck, that's a very good one.
Comic.
Personally, I've never believed in this status symbol of having your own car number. I want to be anonymous.
What you mean is you can't get one?
You keep on with that.
I can get one. Listen, I was offered TR1.
Oh, yeah.
I bought it for 3,000 quid. And the first time I used it, I pulled up at a traffic light, and a fellow in the next car said, How's the deep blue sea going on, Terence Rattigan?
Well, I tried to get ODE1, you see, which I thought would be a good number, but it belonged to a bussing Glamorgan, and I had to buy this bussing Glamorgan, so I told them where to put it.
Most only place for a bus to stop.
Yeah.
It must have been a request.
But Harry Seacombe has a number called HS92, and I said to Harry, I can understand the HS, but what's the 92? He says, it's my waist measurement.
Eric Sykes has got...
Sabrina had S42, didn't she?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Ah, there's a girl. Sabrina.
Sabrina.
Yeah. A bosom friend of mine.
She had to...
She had to get out the business. She got a slow puncture.
Well, she had to have two cars.
You know, and
one
a chap,
for each, what?
A chap called Bob Danvers Walker has Rad 10 radio.
That's right.
And his wife has Tel 1, Telly. That's and she's never been on radio.
Well,
as far as
we've
I know.
Said this before on this programme, and I think it's a load of codswallop. If they don't know me for me, I don't want them to know me for my car.
Yeah, but your moustache sticks out both windows, so they know it's you.
James' real name is James O'Neill Keith Edwards. And he should be J-O-K-E-1.
Yes, but I mean... One
why don't you, Jim?
Well, I'll tell you why, because it's difficult enough to have anonymity in this profession.
Difficult enough to have anybody.
Driving my car, I like to drive anonymously.
No, you can't, Jim. If you wanted to be anonymous, you'd take that fungus off your face. Well,
he's the only man who can do a right turn from the back seat.
That's it.
I think a good number for Arthur would be A10Q. A10Q?
I like that.
I like it, Cyril.
The thing is that I think the Americans have really beaten us to it because they now have number plates under the car. So that if you're knocked down, you have something to read while you're waiting for the ambulance.
Thank you very much, team.
Very good,
and sir. Thank you, Mr. Sergeant. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest. For many years, one of our top comedians, and now one of our top character actresses as well. Making a return visit to Does the Team Think, a warm welcome for... Beryl Reid. Welcome, Beryl. Have a seat. Beryl,
put your bag down.
Beryl, take your courage in both hands and put your question.
In 30 years, people will look back on the 1970s as the good old days. What particular joys does the team think they will be quoting?
In 30 years, people will look back on the 1970s as the good old days. What particular joys does the team think they will be quoting?
70s will be remembered, of course, for Beryl Reid, for a start.
Well, I've heard about crawling in my tongue.
What new film are you doing, Beryl?
No, I had to say that.
Let's bring it to the ladies now.
Yes.
But the one thing, which I don't know whether you like this or not, you won't be washing your knickers anymore because they'd be made of paper and you just throw them away.
Well, yes, of course.
That's one thing that'll happen. You'll say, wasn't it a lovely day in 1973 when I could wash my knickers?
What a funny thought, Ted.
Well, I'm a bit bent that way. I like ladies' knickers, you know. The only thing I'm worried about is sex.
You're worried now, never mind 30 years' time.
I'm worried about 6:30.
In 30 years' time in show business, it'll be done through an agent.
What, sex?
Yeah.
You're joking. You don't have any 10% of mine.
I don't want 10% of yours. I've seen them.
Team, Team, it's just possible that Beryl Reid has some ideas.
Oh, she's still here. Hello, darling.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Are you enjoying the Jimmy Edwards half hour?
No.
No.
No, I'm not.
You never did?
Never. I think that people might be saying in 30 years, wasn't it marvellous when we could go to work in London and not have to commute 3 days to the moon?
The moon?
Yes.
You see, you might well
be
have
up
to
there,
do that.
That's right.
Or wasn't it marvellous when two people could go out to dinner and go to the theatre and still have a little bit of change out of £50?
And wouldn't it be a terrible thing if the Isle of Man took over the world and all men's trousers were made with three legs?
Funny you should say that, Ted. I noticed this morning my trousers were... Is that what it is? No, but...
You are lucky.
Oh, dear.
Beryl, it's all right. There will be so many advances in the 30 years that we're talking about that you won't even have to go to the theatre. You'll just dial on the telephone and dial a number and the jokes will come through to you.
Oh, but that's television or radio, isn't it?
I think television will die out, you know. There's a new thing now called radio where you don't have to have pictures.
Thank you, T, very much, and thank you, Beryl Reid. Thank you, Beryl. Thank you. Team, Mr. Graham Barker joins me, sits on my right-hand side, and puts this question to you.
Does the team think that many people place more faith in home cures and old wives' treatments than in what their doctor tells them? And have they themselves any pet remedies?
Does the team think that many people place more faith in home cures and old wives' treatments than in what their doctor tells them? And have they themselves any pet remedies?
I can go back farther than these fellows. I don't look it, I know, but I can. But in the early part of the century, that is before the 1914 war, there were millions of remedies. There was Dr. Williams' pink pills for pale people. There was...
Purchase Pothelthwaite's pink pills for perpetual pains under the pinny.
That's right, that's the same thing. And there was Doan's backache pills. Every picture tells a story. Yeah,
they're still doing it. They're still doing that one.
Are they?
I remember there was a food. I don't know whether they still make it, but Arthur, you must know this. And it was advertised all over the tram cars in Liverpool called Mellin's Food.
Oh, yes.
And there were two ladies on the tram and, you know, rather the poorer classes. Nice ladies. One had a baby and the other one across said, how's the babby? And she said, it's lovely, thanks. She said, what are you feeding him on? And she said, melons. She said, aren't you frightened of the pips getting stuck in his throat?
Very good. Well, of course, on the fairgrounds in the old days, there was always the fellow with the herbal remedies. And I heard a fellow once saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a bad throat, try Dr. Blotter's tincture of iodine. It's the greatest in the world. You should try it. So a fellow in the audience says, why don't you try it yourself? He said, very good, sir, I will. And I assure you that this is...
Any of you seriously, you must know about old wives' tales, like putting potato peel on your temple if you've got a headache.
Yes, or the tea bags under the eyes.
I'm a great believer.
The tea bags. My mother used to say, put some tea bags, and they weren't invented. But mother, being an old bag herself, she found a way. And then she'd say to me when I came back from football, look at that knee, it's terribly swollen. I'll have to put a vinegar bandage on it.
That's and she, right. And she brown
put,
paper.
Yeah, put the vinegar bandage and brown paper. And sometimes I was wakened up at 10 in the morning and she took it off because they were having fish and chips downstairs.
I think it would only be polite just to turn our attention to Mr. Barker for a moment. He's come a long way to put this question.
Where do you come from, Mr. Barker?
Where do you come from?
Actually, I'm a medical student at St. George's in Hyde Park Corner.
So he knows about old wives' tales.
Good old St. George's.
Mr. Barker, is there any truth in old wives' tales?
Well, a lot of drug companies spend a great deal of money chasing up old wives' tales and later on finding efficacious materials from them. But I particularly ask this question because at St. George's we often get a number of show business personalities in and they're all looking for a cure for stage fright. And I see that Mr. Jimmy Edwards has got one cure, but I wondered if you'd heard of any others.
Surely, Mr. Graham Barker, that must be the psychiatric ward, surely. The fear of going on the stage.
No, it's the emergency ward, actually. I utterly resent the implication that I have stage fright. I'm not frightened of these people.
They're frightened of you.
They should be. I mean, stage fright is a
It's a terrible thing.
It's a slight nervousness you might have because you're about to expose yourself. Well, in
what? That's the kind of shows you do.
You're about to be exposed. Or...
Well, that's the same thing. There's no flies on Jim.
Jimmy Edwards starring in Oh, Calcutta.
No, a very small part.
Mac, you've been looking.
You've been lifting my gags, Mac.
No, listen. I am a great believer in socks.
In socks?
Socks. I don't think a used sock, there's no better remedy.
Why don't you change them?
Wrap it round anything that's hurting.
Wrap it round anything that's hurting?
Well, particularly throats. I mean, if you get a sore throat, wrap an old sock round it, but it's got to be a sweaty one.
You must be careful when you stop pulling.
And preferably your own sock. But there's no
and
doubt.
And you use that when you've been muck spreading, do you, Jim?
That, it's better then.
It's not.
But I had a pain in my back and couldn't. The sock wasn't long enough. But it is true to say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe. And there's another thing, if you have bad feet, now this is for horses, really. It's very.
Oh, horses?
Well, I mean, horses get bad feet and so do people.
Cow. A fetlock, you know about all.
Oh, now you're with us. I mean, just get a bit of cow dung, ladies and gentlemen. A bit of cow. There's plenty
Where
of
can
it.
I find a
There's
bit of
plenty
cow?
Of it about on my place, I can tell you. We're knee deep in it. Get a bit of cow dung.
And fill your sock with it.
No. Stick it in your instep. No, a little bit of cooling cow dung in your instep. And you'll never go wrong.
Mr. Barker, you said that you get a lot of show business people coming along to... Where was it you say?
St. George's.
St. George's.
I had 2 months in
St.
George's.
In what capacity do they come to you? Injured in car
Very
accidents?
Very large capacity in my
or
case.
Or worried or what?
Well, they usually come in a private capacity.
In a private capacity.
St. George's what? Hyde Park Corner.
Hyde Park.
Oh, the corner there. I often pop in there and take the wrong turning and there you are in the hospital.
Well, I had 2 months in there. It's a marvellous hospital.
Yeah, did you? What did they do to you? What did they take
away?
Oh,
dear, what
Don't
they did
be to filthy.
Me?
No. Is there anything left, Arthur?
Yes.
Can't have been much when you started, really.
That was when I got my big laugh, went through the Palladium trapdoor.
Yes, right.
They took me to St. George's and repaired me.
When I was a kid, I was playing with a bicycle one day.
You were, you dirty beast. Play with anything.
I was... This was the one occasion when my mother had to seek outside help from the doctor because she thought she could cure anything. She said to me, if you eat stale bread, your hair will go curly. And it was about 10 years before I discovered that she was only trying to get rid of the stale bread. I was playing with my bicycle one day and... While taking off the chain, I inadvertently swallowed some ball bearings.
Oh, no.
And my mother said she couldn't find a way of getting rid of these, so she took me to the doctor, and he said, well, give him some castor oil, but don't point him at anybody.
Thank you very much, Ted Wren. Thank you, Mr. Parker. Thank you very much.
Dear.
Team, Mrs. C.P. Rawlins sits on my right-hand side and she puts this question to you.
If members of the team could place a commemorative plaque anywhere in the British Isles, where would they choose and why?
If members of the team...
I know where I'd
Wait
place
a
yours,
minute! If members of the team could place a commemorative plaque anywhere in the British Isles, where would they choose and why?
I'm glad she used the word place and not stick. Because I know where I'd stick your plaque, Ted.
Where would you stick my plaque, Ted?
Well, so the ball bearings couldn't come out.
Well, anyway, it would be something to read. Well, they've got the brass one on the deck of the Victory, haven't they? The big brass plaque that said Nelson fell here. And the fellow going around said... No wonder if he banged his head on that.
I was walking down Gower Street the other day.
You've been putting them up ever since.
I was walking down Gower Street the other day. There are lots of plaques there, and there's one which commemorates a man named Hazlitt. Now, he must have been some great fellow, because...
William has been.
Great.
I'm not sufficiently erudite to know all these people, but it said Hazlitt...
He was a lamplighter.
...was born here, and I thought, what a funny place to be born, halfway up a wall.
You didn't know... You thought he was an author. Actually, he was a lamplighter, and they said, William has lit the lamps.
Cyril Fletcher, there was this chap who died and left all his money to some pet charity, and his widow was livid, so she dashed off to the tombstone maker, and she said, I want this altered. He said, I'm sorry, madam, we've just put it on. Rest in peace. So she said, well, you can add... until I arrive.
Yes, but if they had R.I.P. already on the doings, if they'd put Saint in front of it, that'd have been where I wanted to go.
But Saint in fact, you know, team, Mrs. Rawlins did ask the question, where, if you could put a plaque up, in commemoration, no doubt, of yourselves, where would, in fact, you put this...
Broadcasting House.
Piccadilly
Not
Circus.
All at once. No.
Broadcasting House. Outside Broadcasting House, he could... put to commemorate that wonderful comedy show,
Does the team think? Think.
And underneath they could have a little box and say, please give generously.
So I would like to have my plaque put in Piccadilly Circus.
Why?
And it would say, by royal appointment, this parking place is reserved for Ted Ray.
Ted, what do you want to park in Piccadilly Circus for? Because there's only
that. Nobody can, but I'd be the only one, you see.
Well, amongst all those doleful hippies and that fellow with no clothes on with an arrow in his mouth.
Well, I'm just trying to make a land fit for Eros to live in.
Thank you very much, team. And there, I'm afraid, we must close. Does the team think for today? On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askin, Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, and our thanks to all our questioners, and, of course, our special guest, Beryl Reed. This is McDonald Hopley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye. Thank you.